We are in Matthew's Gospel this morning, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Jesus has opened what we now refer to as the Sermon on the Mount with some phrases that we'll get to in a minute, and then continues by saying, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me again in prayer. Loving God, as always, it is my prayer that in the following moments, more and more be seen of you, and less of me. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. This, or these words from Jesus, what we call the Beatitudes, are the foundation for this morning's passage, and indeed for the rest of what we now call the Sermon on the Mount, all of that what follows in chapter 5 and on in Matthew. And part of the plan, of course, that is being laid out, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again, is a reminder that what God values and what God thinks the world should look like is often very much in contrast or very different from what we as human beings think is valuable or what the world should look like. But this morning, I want to focus on the two kind of things that are in there, salt and light. And let's start with salt. When Jesus is telling his disciples to be salt, he is referencing any number of Old Testament scriptures or uses for salt. It was used for seasoning. It was used for preservation. It was used as a purifying agent. It was used to seal or ratify covenants. And it was also used in liturgical functions. To eat salt with someone actually signified a bond of friendship and loyalty. Salt scattered on a conquered city reinforced its devastation. So there is lots of imagery coming to mind with Jesus choosing to use that particular metaphor. But part of what Jesus, of course, is saying, who is the salt of the earth? The humble, the ones who mourn, the meek, those who thirst after doing what is right in the world. Looking at light, Jesus' listeners, who, of course, were living in the context of the Romans, who, ruled everything in sight, that part of what they would have understood as Jesus is preaching is, what did Rome consider themselves? A light to the world. We, according to Rome, are the pinnacle of all civilization. Everyone should look at us. And so Jesus is subtly undermining that, obviously, by saying that's not really what the light of the world should be. It's not about conquest. It's not about controlling other people, imposing your will upon other people. That is not God's vision for light in the world. Jesus' message is that living by the Beatitudes is a light to the world, not living by an imperial domination system. Who is light? The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who receive abuse for standing up for what is right. Salt and light are communal. From, of course, you've heard me say a million times, and you'll hear me say it a million times more, as I read Scripture, the narrative is from the very beginning, God created us to be in community. The 13 through 16 is being addressed to a plural audience, or for our purposes, y'all. No one individual embodies salt or light. We individually work to try and be salt and light, but no one person embodies that. It is the full community that is needed to demonstrate or exemplify what really, truly constitutes salt and light, or the kind that Jesus is talking about. If you are somebody who cooks on a frequent basis, and even if you don't, salt, of course, is really most effective when it's used with other elements. In culinary matters, salt works in tandem with other food to bring out the best flavor. And I say that even if you don't, because even if you're not a cook, if you get something that is over-salted and out of balance, you know it right away, don't you? There's no doubt, oh my gosh, this has way too much salt. And so salt really is supposed to be effective in working with other flavors and other seasonings. And by the way, in the absence of anything else, light doesn't necessarily serve much of a function if you think about it. You know, much like that, if a tree falls in the woods and is anybody here to hear it, does it actually make a sound? If a light is lit in a woods where nobody is, would we know that there's light shining or not? Well, yeah, objectively, scientifically, we would. But light is to help others, so to speak. It must emerge within a poorly illuminated environment to brighten that which already exists, so that it may be perceived by others in that space. Another note, salt and light give glory to God, not to us, not to ourselves. The goal, as Jesus states in this passage, of being salt and light is to give glory to your Father in heaven, not to give glory to yourself, not to give glory to your church. It is to God that we are trying to give the glory. These two metaphors are perfect for depicting a ministry that points beyond itself to God. Salt shouldn't call attention to itself in a well-seasoned dish. It enhances the combination of other ingredients. Light illuminates other objects in the room beyond itself. If it's dark, typically you're not lighting a lamp so you can stare at the lamp. You want to be able to see what else is in the room. One other thing that's important to draw your attention to this morning is the language that Jesus used in talking about this. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's not a maybe you can become that. It is God has created you that way. It is in you. It is in all of us. It is inherently in us as God's creation. We don't have to do anything. We cannot help, as people who are created in the image of God, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And it's not something we earn by baptism or confirmation or the number of years we've been coming to a church or serving God. It is inherent in our humanity, in our God-givenness. The the idea, of course, that you are is that we should not, hopefully, be able to help being the handmade people of God, the creation of God, to be salt and light to the world. I want to spend a minute as well talking about, as I mentioned before, this idea of salt losing its saltiness. Now, I think when I was growing up and when I was younger and involved in church and in youth group and you know, before having some more life experience, the way that I always interpreted this passage was probably more towards the over-saltiness of a dish in that way. Right? Like, as a Christian, I'm supposed to be salt in the world, which means I'm supposed to jump out and kind of irritate other people. They're supposed to know that I'm a Christian. And I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't know we're Christians. That's not what I'm getting at. Here's what a commentator said, though. I wonder if Jesus is playing with the impossibility of salt losing its saltiness. You cannot not be salt. It's who you are. Another commentator said, the chemical composition of salt doesn't change. It can't become something else. That's not the way it works. But you could forget who you are. You could refuse the way you have been formed and knit together in this peculiar and incredible way that has a way of bringing out the flavor in those around you. You could forget that there's something about you that might preserve the lives of those you are bound to. You could forget that this element is infused in the entirety of your body, and even when it's lost through your tears or your exertion, it returns in eating and drinking, in the sustenance of our daily lives together. It was an interesting thought exercise to consider that part of what can happen to us is life can help us or can hurt us and can help us lose our saltiness, right? We can lose things that feel essential and dear to us. We can lose things that make us us in one way or another. Our health, a job, a relationship. Those things are real and a part of life. And so if looking through that lens, there are any number of things I think that can affect our saltiness in the world. Part of the antidote to that, and we've talked about it already, and I'll mention it again, community. We are created to be in community because that helps us in these situations where life tries to beat the saltiness out of us in one way or another, tries to make us other than our God-given givenness, our image of Godness. Sometimes, a commentator said, the worst things that we can imagine actually do happen. And when they do, there are moments when we do indeed lose our saltiness and the light goes out. There are moments when we are in need of basic care, when we are not up to showing up and certainly could not imagine leading the revolution. While Matthew's gospel almost never ceases to hunger and thirst for righteousness, sometimes we are hungry and thirsty just getting through the day. In those moments, we need one another to nurse us back to life, singing songs when we can't make a sound on our own behalf. When preaching revolution, sometimes we must also make room for the totality of human experience. Sometimes we need to let rage and sadness enter into our lexicon and lectionary and to sit with those inevitable realities as well. Part of being in community is there are those people. Part of my trip this week to hang out with my seminary friends to have a retreat, we were talking about this, 15 years now we've been gathering together, 16 total, but we missed the COVID year, 15 years. And as we were saying, you can't make old friends, right? These are people that I have known. We have walked with each other and continue, by the way, to walk through with each other through life's ups and downs. We help very much each other with our saltiness and our light. I invite you to consider who those people are in your life, who those relationships are. How can you nurture those relationships so that when you need it, those relationships can nurture you? As I consider this idea about losing your saltiness, I do want to mention something else, because I think there is something else. We've done this individually and collectively. I think we can lose our saltiness by pursuing and obsessing over the wrong things, missing the forest for the trees. We are human beings, which means we're flawed, and so occasionally we get it wrong. We spend energy on doctrinal statements rather than how to actually live our beliefs in our lives. We spend money on social statements rather than actually making change in the world around us. We spend time obsessing over correct theology rather than inviting constructive theology that might actually get lived in the people around us. And we forget to encourage people to believe that they also are theologians. And we forget to invite them to think theologically rather than we overdo the thinking theologically rather than to have a simple theology and to have that guide their lives. The world, I don't think it's a stretch to say, in a lot of ways has changed. We have to figure out how to be salt and light within that world. Part of the challenge of this text from Jesus is to invite you to think about how do you keep your saltiness? What does that look like for you? It's different for different people. We have all been given different gifts by God, and so we don't all live that out in the same way. That's okay. Again, the beauty of community. How do you keep your saltiness? It's not enough to know about God, said a writer. As disciples, we have to be the activity of God in the world. We are called to live out our identity as salt and light, or as another writer put it, we are here to spend ourselves. I would never offer to you a challenge or a idea about something that I wouldn't practice myself. So I spent some time this week thinking about what that looks like for me. And for my part, where we are, and you've heard me do this before and I'll do it again this morning, part of my, I think, call as a pastor is to listen to where the phrase or the idea of Christianity is being used in our country and our world and evaluate that. Here's a quote. Here in the United States, at least, we who call ourselves Christian have for some time tended to cluster our salt and concentrate our light to the exclusion of others and to the benefit of none. Trading humility for hubris, we have salted our culture well nigh to death with notions utterly foreign to the Sermon on the Mount. We speak of Christian values, Christian policies, Christian economics, Christian candidates, Christian plumbers, Christian internet plans, and even Christian dating sites. We lament being persecuted Christians, overlooked Christians, insulted and mocked Christians, even Christians deprived of the phrase, Merry Christmas, too good for this world. Part of the way I feel called as a pastor to maintain my saltiness is to say that there is wrong in the world. There's right in the world and there's wrong in the world. And again, I will say, as I have said before, whatever kind of policy or politics you want to carry out in this country, fine. There is healthy debate to be had and conversation to be had. But be careful about using that phrase Christian along while you're doing it, because Christians don't terrorize other people in masks and haul children out of their homes at 2 a.m. and separate children from their families. Christians don't go out of their way to insult other people, to revel in insulting other people. Christians ought not go out of their way to show how powerful and how much they can humiliate somebody else. And let me tell you this, Christians in no way post racist garbage online, because that is not in the image of God. It is simply not. And say that there is something about how this is being done in the name of Christianity. No, no, and no. I have resolved partly that in the face of this, not politics, but if the word Christian is going to be used as a pastor, as somebody who has devoted my life to this, I am going to speak up in what my conscience tells me to do. How do you, as followers of God, keep your saltiness? Part of this scripture is to invite you to consider that. I will close by offering the following about how we live the Beatitudes in light of this passage this morning, because again, that is the foundation for everything Jesus is saying. How do we live the Beatitudes? Well, we remember that truth is our currency. We speak, share, and write the truth. Once we shrink from telling the truth, what do we have? We honor those who are most vulnerable, the poor, the sick, the very young, and the very old, those with disabilities. We welcome the immigrant, the refugee, and the stranger as if we were welcoming Jesus himself. We work for fairness and justice. We lift up people of all races, nationalities, religions, people of different genders. We live in hope. We are always listening, always aware that we might well be wrong, always looking for the best in those with whom we disagree. We say, not just to those like us, but especially to those different from us, we have your back. We do all of this in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.